All right, Rabbi, good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Kuf Chav Hey 125, and we are picking up on the bottom of Kuf Chav Dalet Amud Beis 124b, right at the Mishnah. So, as you remember, again, the Mishnah begins now. We actually made reference to this case in yesterday's daf. Kulius Hameis. So, Kulius refers to marrow, bone marrow. So, I'll say if you have Kulius Hameis, if you look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, Kulis Hameis, last Rashi, Kuf Chav Dalet Amud Beis, Tomei. So the marrow of a corpse, ultimately, again, is going to be Tomei. Taha etzem kisaura b'meis mitamei b'mago u'b'masav, kidiksev o'ba etzem adam. So also, when it comes to corpse, when it comes to Tumas Hameis, so remember again, even if you have a bone, the size of a saur, the size of a kernel of barley, ultimately, again, that conveys Tumah. So, Kulis Hameis, if you have a bone, with marrow inside of it, top of Kuf Chav Hey, the Kulus HaMukdashin, or for that matter, again, you have a bone of Kadshim. Right? Now Rashi says over here, what's the problem with the bone of Kadshim? So Rashi says, Kulus HaMukdashin, sorry, you have a bone with marrow inside of it of Kadshim, says Rashi, B'Mesechus Psachim, Tinan HaPigol V'Hanosim Etaminas Hayadayim. The Gazu Av Ba'atzamos Sheshimshu Nosar. So what says, we're going to see now, this Kulus of Mukdashim refers to the following situation. I have a bone which had on it meat of Nosar, or for that matter, Pigul. Ultimately, again, that bone has tumah as well as a result of a pigul and a nosar. And the Mishnah tells me that the marrow inside of that bone also is subject to those same halachos of tumah. So the halach is hanogea bohen. So we'll say, so whether we're talking about the bone that contains marrow by tumas meis, or the bone that contains marrow of mukdashin, the halach is hanogea bohen. If one touches the bone, so again, if one touches it, ultimately, again, bein stumin bein nekuvin tameh, whether the bone is open or closed. And also what that means is, whether there is access to the marrow or not, halacha lemaisa, these two items convey tumah. Next, kulis nevela v'kulis hasheretz. What happens if you have a bone of a nevela or a bone of a sheretz, and inside of that bone is marrow? So we'll say, what's the halacha? Hanogea bohen stumin tahorin, nikuvin kol shuhu metame b'mago. So we'll say, so the halacha is, if the bone is closed, i.e. the marrow is closed off, then halacha lemaisa, the bone does not convey any kind of tumah. But nekuvim, if the bone is open, there's a hole in it, then kol shehein, even if there's of any amount, metame b'mago, ultimately, again, both the nevela as well as the sheretz will convey tumah. So also we begin to see already a dramatic difference in the world of marrow. Right? So for example, when it comes to tumas meis or tumas hamukdashin, the halacha is that the presence of the marrow conveys tumah, even if the bone is closed off. When it comes to nevela, when it comes to sheretz, the marrow only confers tumah if there's an opening, even a small opening, but if it's closed off, tumah is not conveyed. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says over here, Nukuvim kol shehu. He says, Vafil kichut asaira, even if it's mamish, a very small opening. Shef shalahachnis bo chut asaira shorosh, ozigno haru mitame v'kakil l'kamon. So we'll say, what's the difference over here in these cases? If you look at Rashi, the previous Rashi, Nevela, Ein atzmo se mitamin. When it comes to Nevela, the bones of a Nevela do not convey tumah. D'chsiv, b'nivlasa, b'lo ba'atzamas. Because we'll say, the Pasuk is quite explicit in telling me that what? It is only the flesh of a Nevela which conveys tumah, but ultimately, again, not its bone. D'chin sheretz, same ideas with sheretz, hilchach, stumin tahorin, therefore, again, if the bone is closed off, just reading Rashi's first short line in Rashi, therefore, if the bone is closed off, it's tar. So we'll say, therefore, if I touch the bone, certainly there's no tumas maga because the marrow is closed off. But on that, but there's no tumas masa either. Even though, remember, last week, we learned about the concept of a shomer, something that ultimately serves as a protection to a davra tome. Ultimately, will have that same identity. That's only when you could access the davra tome. In this situation, the marrow is closed off, therefore it does not convey tumah. Suppose I say again, in cases 1 and 2, which are cases of tumas meis and karbanos, hegdish, or I should say kodesh, not hegdish, kodesh, Ultimately, again, the presence of the marrow conveys tumma, even if there's no opening in the bone. Case number two, which is navela and sheretz, if the bone is open, or even a very small opening, it will convey tumma, but if the bone is closed off, there is no tumma. Minayin shak b'masa, so remember again, the Mishnah said that in the case of navela and sheretz, if the bone is closed, it's tar. If there's an opening, even of any amount, ultimately, again, it's metame b'maga. So the Gemara says, how do we know that the halacha also applies the same way to masa? Minayin shak masa. In other words, how do I know that whatever applies to maga applies to masa? So this we had yesterday. Tamu lomar, hanogeya, v'hanose. So the Torah juxtaposes maga and masa to teach me what? Es sheba lechla maga ba lechla masa. That which ultimately comes, that which is subject to tumas maga, is subject to tumas masa. Lo ba lechla maga, but halacha l'maaseh, if it cannot become tamei tumas maga, then lo ba lichlal masa. Then ultimately, again, it cannot contract tumas masa. So what it says, the Torah juxtaposes them to tell me, you can only be subject to masa if you're subject to maga. If you're not subject to maga, then you're not subject to masa. Good, we saw that already in yesterday's daf as well. Says the Gemara, nogia in aval mahiyolo. So the Gemara makes an interesting observation here. In the first case of the Mishnah, which was the kulis hames, when you have marrow inside of the bone of a corpse, so the Mishnah said, hanogea bahen, if one touches this bone, whether the bone has an opening, doesn't have an opening, in other words, whether the marrow is accessible or not, halach lemaisei conveys tuma. Now the Mishnah dafka said nogea. So the Gemara infers from that, this is only true by nogea. About my heel, but if you're under the same roof as this bone with the marrow, lo, then halacha lemaisa again, it would not convey tuma. To which the Gemara says, hey chidami, so what's the case? So if you want to say that the bone has a kizayis of flesh on it, human flesh on it, then halacha lemaisa will say, even independent of the marrow, that kizayis of flesh should convey tumas ohel. Rather, you have to say that what? Deleka kizayis basar. We must be dealing with a bone that has no flesh on it. V'idi'ika kizayis moach mibifnim. But 1 second. If there's a kizayis of the marrow inside of the bone, tuma bokas va'ola. If that's the case, I will say, then ultimately, again, the tuma of the marrow should ultimately go up, right, should ascend outside of the bone as well. And therefore, again, bo'ohel nami litma. And if that's the case, again, I will say, even the presence of the marrow should halacha l'maaseh convey to mas ohel. To which the Gemara says, you're right, deleke kizayis moach mebifnim. There is not a kizayis of marrow inside of the bone. So says the Gemara, v'imoach mebifnim ma'ala aruka mibachutz. But 1 second, I will say, if the marrow inside of the bone would allow for regeneration of the flesh outside of the bone, then what? Eber ma'al yuhu. Then Abba said this bone is not just simply looked at as a bone, but rather again it's looked at as a limb. And if that's the case, ba'ohel nami litma. Ultimately, again, it should convey to mas ohel. So also we're just trying to figure out what the case is, because the Mishnah was quite explicit in telling me that in this case of the bone with the marrow, I should say the bone of a mace, or I should say the marrow of the mace, right? Ultimately does not convey tuma through maga, but not through ohel. We're just trying to define that case in which there would not be tumas ohel. What does this teach me? So we'll say what we could see from the Mishnah is that the Mishnah clearly takes the approach that the presence of marrow inside of the bone does not necessarily allow for the regeneration of flesh outside of the bone. And therefore, again, the bone itself does not have the status of an aver, of a limb. And because it doesn't have the status of a limb, therefore it does not convey tumas ohel. So the Gemara says, okay, but my okim, so now how have you established the case of the Mishnah? Deleka kizayis, where ultimately, again, there is not a kizayis of marrow inside of the bone. Well, ihachi, if that's the case, b'mukdashin amai mitama. So we'll say, if there is not a kizayis of marrow inside of the bone, then halacha lemaisa, why is it that in the case of the bone of kodshim with the marrow inside of it, that marrow conveys tuma? Look at Rashi for just a moment. Ihachi b'mukdashna mai mitam. And it's like, if you go right across from Rashi in about 8 lines down, you'll see it in Rashi. Ihachi b'mukdashna mai mitam. Hare lo shimshu nosar de'in nosar pachos mikizayis. See, Rabbi say halacha lamaisa, the case of mukdashim, we were trying to say that the case of marrow is, let's say, where you had a bone of a carbon, right, that became nosar, right? Whether there was flesh on it, wasn't flesh on it, doesn't make a difference. No, marrow itself can become nosar as well. The problem is, or not the problem, but the technical issue is that it only becomes nosar if there's at least a kizayis of marrow. You now have set up the case in the Mishnah, the first case in the Mishnah, as dealing with a bone that has less than a kizayis of marrow. So remember, if that's the case, then why is the marrow tameh by the case of kulis hamukdashin? Amay metameh. V'su, furthermore again, kulis nedeilav, kulis hasheretz. Furthermore again, when you have the marrow of a nevela, or the marrow of a sheretz, ki nikvu amai mitamin. Ultimately, again, even if they have a hole inside of the bone that allows access to the marrow, why should that convey tuma? Rashi says, ki nikvu amai tmein, ha amran de'in shomrin mitstarfin l'tuma chamura. To which the Gemara says, ha lo kasha. To which the Gemara says, this is not a problem, I'll tell you why. Reisha d'leki kizayis. But we're going to divide the Mishnah. The Reisha, namely the cases ultimately again, the first cases in the Mishnah, are dealing with a situation where there is not a kezayis of marrow. The Rashi says, the case of kulis hames, right? The case of the marrow of a corpse, we're dealing over here with a situation where there is no kezayis. Seifa di'ika kezayis. But the Seifa, ultimately, and we'll say now, in this model of the Gemara, the Seifa is comprised of three cases. The Reisha is the case of the corpse. And now what we're suggesting is that's the case where there is halacha lamaisa, no kizayis of marrow. The seifa refers to three cases, mukdashin, nevela, and sheretz. In all of those cases, seifa, di'ika kizayis, those cases are also we'll be dealing with the situation, ultimately, again, where there is a kizayis of marrow. Look here, Rashi, di'ika kizayis, v'fichach gabi mukdashin, ika shir nosar, so therefore, I will say, ultimately, by Mukdashin, there is a shear of Nosar, because you need at least a Kizayis. And by Nevela and Sheretz, you have a Kizayis as well. I says the Gemara, my Kamash Malon. So what exactly is the Chiddush over here? If you look at Rashi, my Kamash Malon, Chibon Dereisha Leka Kizayis, Akati Lashma Inon, Deetzem Kisura Matame Magavala Boal, Kizayis Minan Nevela Matame. Or we'll say, what's the Chiddush over here? To which the Gemara says, Mili, Mili, Kamash Malon. The truth is, each part of the Mishnah conveys to us a different lesson. Reisha Kamash Malon. So we'll say, the first part of the Mishnah teaches me, Demoach Mibifnim, Eino Ma'ala Aruka Mibachutz. So we'll say, the first part of the Mishnah is actually coming to teach me that where you have marrow on the inside of the bone, marrow does not give the bone the ability to regenerate flesh. That's the first lesson. Mukdashin, my kamash malon. What do I learn from the case of mukdashin? Shimush nosar milsihi. What's it from the case of mukdashin, which is the case of the marrow of nosar? I learned that what? Shimush nosar milsihi. That the bone is ultimately significant, and the bone will contract tuma. Why? Because it's mishamish the nosar. Because it's holding the marrow of nosar. Therefore, again, that is significant as well. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Milsihi. Result milsihi kinosar atzmo, that ultimately again that which serves nosar, in this case it's the bone which contains the marrow of nosar, ultimately contracts tuma like nosar itself. Itzrich lashmo inon daachi ukidrav mari mishun lipsachel lo tenan ela apigol vanosar aval shimusha lo tenan vashmo inon masnisin dimishum de shimusha kizayis nosar metama filo kishu stuma. So the second part of the Mishnah teaches me that which serves Nosar contracts Nosar Tuma. The bone, which contains the marrow of Nosar, ultimately again has Tuma like Nosar. Next. So the Gemashon Shimish Nosar Milsihi, Domer Mari Baravua, Amreb Yitzchak, Atzamos Kachim, Sheshimshu Nosar, Mithaminis Hayadayim, Hoil Vinaasu Basis Ledavar Haaser. So we'll say, again, we've seen this statement before. Bones of Kachim, that ultimately, Sheshimshu Nosar. We'll say, Sheshimshu Nosar means they served Nosar. Either that means that Nosar was on top of them, or in the case of marrow, Nosar is inside of them. Mitamenes hayadayim, they go ahead and they declare the hands tame. Why? Hoil v'naase basis l'davara aser, since the bone ultimately serves as a base for something which is prohibited. So therefore again, case number one of the Mishnah teaches me that even the presence of marrow does not allow for the flesh to regenerate on the bone. Therefore again, the bone is not considered an aver. Case number two teaches me that that which serves no sar, or houses no sar, contains no sar, has the status of no sar, and therefore is mitamenes hayadayim. Next, nevela, we'll say what I learned from the case of nevela. The case of nevela, which is a case of a bone of a nevela, which has nevela marrow inside of it. Even though there is a kizayis of marrow inside of the bone, nikva in, if there's a hole in the bone that allows for access to the marrow, that's when ultimately, again, it will convey tumah. Lo nikva, lo. But halacha l'maisa, if the bone is closed off and therefore there is no access to the marrow, then halacha l'maisa, there will be no tumas nevela. Rashi says over here, first white line in Rashi, lo nikva lo, deba'inon efshar liga. Because also when it comes to nevela, there has to be the ability for access. Right? If there's not the ability for access, there is no tumas nevela. So we'll say, so again, each case in the Mishnah teaching me something dramatically different. From the first case, I learned that halacha lemaisa, presence of marrow, does not allow for regeneration, ultimately, of the flesh. From second case of the Mishnah, right? So, okay, it's fine. So we went through Mukdashin, we went through Nevela, went through now the Chiddush in every step of the Mishnah. Good. Amar Abai. So Abai says as follows. The Olam, moach mibifnim ma'ala ruka mibachotz. So Abai says, in reality, this is not true. The presence of marrow does in fact allow for regeneration of the flesh on the outside. So I'll say, so what's the case over here? What's the case? We'll say the case over here is where one shaved down the bone. If you look at Rashi, it's the second white line in Rashi. Abai Amar the Olamach Ma'ala Aruka Umasnisin Bisheshafa Nasra B'magal O B'sakin Disu Lo Ma'ala Aruka. Abaye says, in reality, the presence of marrow normally allows for the regeneration of flesh. So what happened in the Mishnah over here? The case of the Mishnah, Abaye, is where you shaved down the bone. And apparently, again, I guess after you shave down the bone enough, so the regeneration of flesh becomes impossible. So Rashi says, V'hilchach, kevan deleka kizayis moach, demetame ba'ohel, mishum shir lo metame ever, ubumukdash nevela v'sharetz b'di'ika kizayis, so we'll say, so listen to this. So therefore, Rabbi is saying, normally, the presence of marrow does allow for regeneration of flesh. So what's the case over here? The case is where the bone was shaved down. So if you look at that Rashi again, so remember again, in the Mishnah, we just got finished saying that halacha lemaisa, there's not a kizayis of marrow. In the case of the mace, there's no kizayis of marrow, and therefore again, kevan deleka kizayis moach demetame ba'ohel, that have the ability to convey to mas ohel mishum shir lo metame ever ubamukdash nevela v'sharis b'dika kizayis. So therefore, Rabbi said the case over here is we paskin Abai says the bone does the presence of marrow does not allow for regeneration of flesh. There's no kizayis of marrow in the first case of the Mishnah. And that's why, again, what? There's no tumas ohel. What kind of tumah is there, Abosai? Tumas maga. So Rashi just pointed out, Abai is not arguing on anything we said before, except for this idea of ma'ala aruka. So the Gemara says as follows. Rabbi Elazar, remember, da'am Rabbi Elazar, kulis sheshafa la'arka tmeya. Rabbi Elazar says that if you have marrow, right, a marrow inside of a bone, and the bone was smooth, a little bit smooth, shaved down, liarka, according to its length, mitmeya. Ultimately, again, it will still be tame. Lirachba, but if you went ahead and you shaved it down according to its width, tahora, it will be tarn. What is this? What's going on? Look at Rashi. Tmeya. Vafilu imba lo basar v'lo moach. The moach shaya asid lava mi vifnim ma'ala aruka. Kevan deduchta. Excuse me. The dekavasa balichayim ma'ala aruka. Hashtanami iverhu. V'lo ba'yishir. L'rachba, Saviv afilu b'malchum echas. Well, this is actually very interesting. So apparently, if you shave down a bone along its length, the marrow inside still has the ability to regenerate. Apparently, if you go ahead and you shave it down along its width, which I was essentially mean like around the circumference of the bone, then halacha lemaisa, the marrow inside does not have the ability to regenerate. This simanach, and Abbas say, what's the simon for this? Dikla, a palm tree. So this is actually very interesting. If you look at Rashi again, Dekel, im tito mimeno ritzua saviv chomisyavish, shelo hinachta derech lisraf lalos min akarko lamalo, mimokum sheniklof, vim taklifeno la'arka, viteshtar etzido echad yesh lisraf lalos. Well, this is very interesting. So apparently with a palm tree, if you go ahead and you remove a layer of the bark, right, the layer of the outside of the tree along the length of the tree, the height of the tree, then halacha lemaisa, the tree is going to be just fine. Apparently, if you remove a bark around a ring of the tree, right, the circumference, what we'll call the width of the tree, then apparently that prevents the sap from rising. I guess there's something about the outside and the inside of the palm tree that if you go ahead and you remove a ring of the bark, the sap cannot go up. So the Gemara says what's true for a palm tree is also true for bones, right? Shave down the bone along its length, the marrow can still regenerate. Shave the bone down around its width, ultimately, again, the marrow cannot regenerate. Very interesting, says the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan says, Li'olam di'ika kizayis. Rabbi Yochanan Abbas argues, he says, no, in fact, the case of the Mishnah, the Reisha, is talking about a situation where there is a kizayis of marrow inside of the marrow. So this is a case of Tumas Meis. Rashi's Li'olam, Reisha di'ika kizayis. So therefore, again, Rabbi Yochanan comes along and says, the case of the Mishnah, Reisha, is where there is a kizayis, and where there is marrow in the inside, that goes in and causes regeneration on the outside. So one second. If there's a kizayis of marrow on the inside, then we're back to square one. Remember again, what made us interpret the Reisha as dealing with the case where there's not a kizayis of marrow on the inside? Because the Mishnah Dafka said, what type of tumah does the marrow of the mace convey? Maga, not ohel. So we were saying, why is it maga, not ohel? Because it's not a kizayis. Rabbi Yochanan is coming along and saying, no, the case of the marrow of the mace is where there is a kizayis. Aye, but one second. Then what about tumas ohel? To which the Gemara says, again, Rabbi Yochanan, amar lo dika kizayis, umuach mibifnim, mala ruku mibachutz. So what Rabbi Yochanan says, number one, we're dealing with a case where there is a kizayis of marrow. Number two, marrow provides the bone with the ability to regenerate flesh. And if that's the case, I'm supposed to say now there's a kizayis of marrow, and with the ability to regenerate flesh, the bone should be treated like an aver. The bone should be treated like a limb. If that's the case, isn't there tumas ohel? Umay no gea diktani. And what does it mean when the Mishnah said that it's tamei tumas maga? Mahio. It actually means ohel. So we'll say, so Rabbi Yochanan suggests that tumas maga in this context actually means ohel. And therefore, again, the Mishnah is telling me that there is tumas ohel. To which the Gemara says, but if that's the case, that where there is marrow on the inside, it causes the regeneration of flesh on the outside, kulis nevela v'kulis hasheretz. They're both saying, what about the case of the marrow of a nevela, the marrow of a sheretz? Kilo nikvu amai tohorim. If that's the case, even if the bone did not have a hole in it, why should it be tar? After all, again, I will say, if there's a kizayis of marrow, and that marrow has the ability to regenerate flesh, that bone is like an aver. That bone is like a limb. A limb will convey tumah even if there's no access to the marrow. Amar Rabbi Yamin bar Gidol, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Askinan, what's the case? Kegon di'ike kizayis moach hamiskashkesh. What's a very interesting case. What's the situation? There is a kizayis of marrow, but I will say it's dried up, and it rattles around on the inside. When do we say that marrow has the ability to regenerate flesh? Only when it's, I don't know what's the right word, fresh, right? Only when it's moist. Okay, good, moist. But if it's dried up, so the sheer kizayis also will be significant. But lamaisa, it's not ma'al la'aruka. It doesn't allow for regeneration of flesh, and therefore aloha lamaisa, it doesn't have the status of an aver. Gabi meis tuma bokas va'ola. Supposed to say, now watch this. When it comes to tumas meis, right, ultimately, again, such tumas, bokas va'ola, ascends. Nevela, and therefore Yael will be Matami to Asoel. Nevela keva the miskashkesh, who, well, let's say, but by Nevela, since the marrow is dried up and rattling around on the inside, mikvain, ultimately, again, if there's access in the bone, that it will become tame. Lo nikva lo, but if the bone, if no opening on the bone, then ultimately, again, the dried up marrow will not convey tuma. To which the Gemara says, Amar, so Amar Rabbi Avin, Vitim Rabbi Yosi Bar Avin, Af Anan Nami Tanina. We learn this as well. Hanogia Bikechotzi Zayis. We'll say if a person touches a half a kizayis, right, a half a kizayis of a davar atame, and what happens? Umahila Chatzi Zayis, and then again, I'm under the same roof with another half a kizayis, O chatzi zayis mahila lav, or I will say I'm touching one half of a kizayis of a davar atame, and another half is hovering on top of me. Then what's the halacha? Tame. Ultimately, again, one will become tame. Says the Gemara, Iyamrit b'shlama chad shmahu. If you want to say that ultimately, again, it all has the identity as one, right? It's one cohesive tuma identity. Then we shumachim mitstarif. Then understand how these two pieces of tuma ultimately are mitstarif combined. Eli iamrit shreish meninu. But also, if you want to say ultimately again that there are two different names, as we both say, what we're suggesting over here is that in reality, so you both say this is the beauty of this. In Rabbi Yochanan's model, when the Mishnah says hanogea, but hanogea means what? Means ohel. Nogea means ohel, which means that negia and tumas ohel are both in the same thing, right? We treat them the same. Says the Gemara, if you treat tumas ohel and tumas maga as the same, I understand why in this case just mentioned the two half kizesim could go ahead and combine to make me tame. But if you say that tumas maga and tumas ohel are really two different forms of tuma, then me mitstarif. Then ultimately, they're going to both say, how can they be mitztarif? After all, the Haftanan we learned, Zeh HaKlau, Kol Shehu Mishem Echad Mitztarif, V'tamei. They both say, anything that is the same form of Tumah, even two parts of the same form of Tumah could combine to make a person Tamei. Mishnei Shemus, but if the two types of Tumah have two different identities, then what? Tar, ultimately it's not mitztarif. To which the Gemara says, Elamai, Chad Shmahu. Rather, Bosa, what do you have to say? You have to say that Tumas Ohel and Tumas Maga essentially are the same name, same identity, same type of Tumah. And that's why, again, the Mishnah calls it Maga. It means, but Maga means Maga, Maga means Ohel. I aim a safe look at the end of the Mishnah. Aval, Hanogea Bekechatzi Zayis V'davar Acher. Rabbi Bosa, look at the end of the Mishnah. Right, look at the Seifa. Aval, Hanogea. Bekechatzi zayis. So I'll say this is the end of the brayse we actually just quoted before. Aval nogia bekechatzi zayis v'davar echad ma hilalov. So we'll say if you touch a half the kizayis of a davar atame, right? V'davar acher ma hilalov, and then another type of tuma, ultimately again is on top of me. So the Gemara says v'davar acher ma hilalov v'al kechatzi zayis tar. So which the Gemara says, one second, v'chad shmahu. But if you say ultimately again that these types of tuma, both maga and ohel, are one chad shmahu amai tar. Ultimately again, why should I be tar? Both say again, it seems to be the same type of case. Elakasha reisha. Inachinami says the Gemara. It's a kasha. Amar Rabbi Zera bituma. So this is actually very interesting. So Rabbi Zera says no. What's the case? Amar Rabbi Zera bituma ritzutza bein beis migdalim askinon. So I say, what are we dealing with over here? With what we call tuma ritzutza. Well, I say tuma ritzutza literally means cramped tuma. What's cramped tuma? It's actually very interesting. Look at Rashi. Ritzutza. Kol davar she'in lo makom revach, kari ritzutz. Anything that has no space to move is called ritzutz. Uparchos mitefach lav chalalu, v'nikra mashe besocho ritzutz. So I say, listen to this case. When you have tuma that is in a cramped area, which means there is not a tefach of open space around it, so that's tuma rabosai. It actually behaves a little bit differently. So when you have, so let's just literally translate the case, and then we'll explain. Tuma rotsutza bein beis migdalim. So we'll say you have a davra tame between two migdalim. Two migdalim is like two towers, but it doesn't mean towers like buildings, right? If you can imagine like dressers, right? Like two more like between two dressers, right? And ultimately, again, there is no tefach of opening around it. Dikula negiyahu. It will say, ultimately, again, contact with this type of tuma, even without direct touching it, is called tumas maga. Look at Rashi. Dikula negiyah is actually very interesting. Vafiluhu mahio lemala min habasar harbe kigon shayu hamigdalim givoim vatuma lemata.
Well,
listen to this. When you have tuma retzutza, we'll say, so for example, you have a tuma in a tight area, and there's not a tefach of space by that tuma. That tuma's ola ubokas. That tuma goes up. Right? Now, we'll say this is different than tumas ohel. Tumas ohel means that when you are under a roof with a certain types of tuma, the tuma fills that entire area. Here, we'll say what this is talking about is that halacha lemaisa, where you have tuma in a very constrained and constricted area, that tuma shoots up. Anything that is in the airspace above that tuma ultimately contracts tuma. Now, we'll say, as we're going to see, this is such an intense level of tuma that it's as if you're touching the tuma itself. So the point the Gemara is making over here is that what? There's a situation, Rav Osei, of non-maga tuma that has the status of maga. That's the point. So you could have a situation where I'm not directly touching the tuma, but the intensity of the tuma is such that it's ki'ilu I'm touching it. Uman tana dekari le'ohel nogea. And Rav Osei, who is the opinion who holds that tumas ohel is like maga? Rav Osei, it's Rav Osei desanya. Rabbi Yossi says, interesting case, Mole Tarvad Rekev Mitame Bemaga Ubemasa Uba Ohel. Rabbi Yossi says like this. So we'll say if you have a spoonful or a ladleful of Rekev. Rekev means corpse dust. I have a ladleful of corpse dust. So we'll say, so what's talocha? Mitame, it conveys tuma, bimaga if you touch it, bimasa if you carry it, uba ohel, and if you are under the same roof as it. Says the Gemara, Bishlama b'masa uba ohel. So I understand if I carry the ladle, I'm gonna be tamei. And I understand if I'm under the same roof as the ladle, I'm gonna be tamei. Hakka tamei lekule. Because ultimately, I will say, if I'm carrying it, I'm carrying the whole ladle, right? If I'm standing under the same roof as it, I'm under the same roof as the entire ladle. However, elanogea halo naga bukule. It will say at the end of the day. Halach l'maaseh, if I touch that ladle, or I touch some of the corpse dust, you're supposed to say, here's the chav. If you touch the corpse dust, remember, every granule of dust is its own thing. Which means if you touch it, you're not touching the entire thing in its entirety, you're only touching one chelik of it. Halo naga bekulei. You haven't touched the entire thing. Ela lav shmamina. Rather, what do you see from here? Maino geya. What does it mean when we say maga? Maga means mahil. We'll say that maga ultimately means that what? I'm under the same roof as it. But we'll say, it's not what it says. V'haka tani nogeya, v'haka tani mahil. But we'll say that the Braisa writes both maga and ohel. Amar Abaye says, lemata mitefach ohel negiya. So we'll say, so the Gemara says like this. Ultimately, when the ohel in question ultimately provides less than a tefach of space, that ultimately has the status of maga. Lamala mitefach, if the ohel itself provides more than a tefach of space, then ohel greda. So we'll say Abai is coming along in defining our terms. When the ohel in question is very small, and therefore there's less than a tefach of space, so the Gemara will call that maga. When there is more than a tefach of space, we will call that ultimately negia, says the Gemara. I'm sorry, we'll call that ohel. Thank you. Rava Amar Rava says, afilu malami tefach nami ohel negiyahu. So Rava says, not true, even when the ohel is lamalami tefach, we'll still call that ohel. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry. Rava says, afilu malami tefach nami ohel negiyahu. Even when it's lamalami tefach, we're not going to call it ohel, we're going to call it negiya. Ve'echi dami ohel greda. So we'll say, so what's the case ultimately? Again, we'll use that lashon of ohel to exclude maga, b'ham shacha. So we'll say another very interesting case. So look at Rashi, b'ham shacha. Dover acher ma'gil alav, b'al hatuma, So the classic case of Ohel, according to Rava, will be the following situation, where it's not the Davar HaTame which is suspended over me, but rather what? The Davar HaTame and I are standing under the same, or are positioned under the same roof. That roof, the fact we're under the same roof, that roof is mamshich the tumah to me. So I could be standing on one side of the room, the tumah is on a different side of the room, but because we are under the same roof, again, I will say this doesn't apply in all cases of tumah, as you know, but we're not getting into specifics of tumah right now, just general concepts. So ultimately, that's called hamshacha, that the roof ultimately is mamshich, conveys the tumah to me. Amar Rava, so Rava says, mina aminallah, from where do I know this? So Rashi says over here, Mina Aminala, Dafir Lamala Metapach Karile Rabiosi Ohel Nagia. So Rabbi says, from where do I know that according to Rabiosi, even if the Ohel is more than a Tepach, that's still called Maga, to which the Gemara says, Some Rabbi Aminala, this none. Rabiosi says, interesting case of Osai, Chavile Mita. They will say, we've had this case of Chavile Mita. Chavile Mita Suge Chalonos means as follows. They used to have beds, and instead of like a box spring, what you would have was ropes, right? And the ropes would support whatever the mattress was. So that's called chavile mita. And I will say, obviously, that's like a lattice work of ropes. In other words, that's not a solid rope zach, right? It's a lattice work. So there's openings there. That's the important part, right? That's chavile mita. Svigi chalonos. So we'll say svigi chalonos are like bars on your windows. Hey, bars on your window. So again, the common denominator is each of these things. There's a structure to it, but there are openings there. Watch this. This is amazing. So let's say I have two floors in my house, right? I have an upper story and a lower story, and there's an opening in my ceiling between the upper story and the lower story, and I place one of the chavile mita or the srige chalonos across the hole, across the opening from my lower floor to my upper floor, that acts as a barrier to tumah. That acts as a barrier to tumah. Rashi says, look at Rashi. So Rashi says over here, fourth wide line in the intermediate lines in Rashi. Chotzitzin bein bayis la'aliyah. Rashi says, imshatcho mekoro lachaverto nasa tikra ubatlo vein mekabum tumah v'chotzim efnei tumah shel tikanis tumah letzad shini shalek lomar la'aliyah v'af pishen akuvim hein. So let's listen to this. So the idea is in these items, the openings are very small. So because they're small, they could serve as a barrier to tuma from the lower story to the upper story. Okay, fine. So the Gemara says, Parson apnea meis ba'avir hanogea kineged. I'm sorry. Shlo v'hachnis tuma letzacheni. Parson apnea meis. So let's listen to this. However, if you placed ultimately these items on top of the mace itself, ba'avir hanogea kineged hanekev tamei. So Rabbi say, if I placed these items on top of the mace itself, and I put my hand literally opposite the openings in these items, then I contract tuma. Shano kineged hanekev. But ultimately, if I place my hand not opposite the openings in the chabili hamit or sugei chalonos, then what? Tar. Ultimately, I'm tar. Rabbi says, this is amazing. Say, hey, Kidami, what's the case? See, if you want to say ultimately again that the srigei chalonos and the chavile mita are placed within a tefach of the mace, so shalel kineged hanekev, am I tar? Even if halach lamais, I'm placing my hand not opposite the opening in these items, why should I be tar? Mace piksuso, umace piksuso metame. We'll say, if you're placing these items within a tefach of the mace, then what? These items effectively become what? Like the very clothing of the mace itself. If it becomes part of the mace, then both sides bottle to the mace, which means if I put my hand opposite that, I am becoming tameh. Rather, what do you see from here? It must be that I'm positioning the srige mita, the srige chalonos, and the chavile mita, a tefach, at least a tefach or more above the mace. And therefore, again, what does it tell me? It tells me that halacha lemaisa, if my hand is opposite one of the openings, I'll contract tuma. But if my hand is not opposite one of the openings, I will not contract tuma. What do you see? Vikakari de nogea. And Rabbi says, "Aloch lemaisa." You see that according to Rabbi Yossi, this is still called maga, right? Placing my hand opposite one of the holes, even though the item is suspended above a tefach over the mace, which Rabbi says technically not tumas maga, yet Rabbi Yossi is still calling that tumas maga. Amar Abaye, the olam lemata mitefach. Abaye says, "No, in reality, the case over here is where the item is really within a tefach of the mace." I bet you said, but if it's within the tafach of the mace, is it not considered to be the garment of the mace and therefore bottle to the mace? To which the Gemara said, the garment of the mace piksuso, mace piksuso mevatile, hai lo mevatile. Ultimately, says the Gemara, here's the difference. So we'll say the clothing of a mace is bottle to the mace. These items are not considered to be bottle to the mace. We'll say, why should this be different than a case of tumas tumuna? Tumas tumuna also means hidden tumah. If you look at Rashi, second of the widest lines, tumah tumuna means a tumah which is hidden. Tumah that is hidden goes up, ascends. If that's the case, why should this case be any worse than tumah tumuna? Kasa Rabbi Yossi, tumah tumuna ena bokas. Rabbi Yossi holds that I will say hidden tumah does not ascend upwards. The Gemara says, Umana Teimra, where do we know this from? Disnan, Tevas Hamigdal Shiish Papo Seach Tevach. So we'll have to stop over here. We'll pick up in Mirat Hashem with this assertion or this concept of Tumah Tumuna in Mirat Hashem tomorrow.
Abotai, there's been an issue with cars blocking the dumpster. Please do not park from the dumpster so they could empty it on Mondays and Thursdays.